BBC News with Jerry Smith. Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says those responsible for a deadly attack on an Israeli military convoy will pay the price for their actions. Israel says two of its soldiers were killed and seven injured in the attack carried out by Hezbollah.
Whoever's behind today's attack will pay the full price. For some time, Iran, via Hezbollah, has been trying to establish an additional terrorist front against us from the Golan Heights. The Lebanese government and the Assad regime share responsibility for the consequences of the attacks emanating from their territories against the State of Israel.
Israel responded by firing shells into southern Lebanon. The UN Security Council is convening now to discuss the violence. The family of a Jordanian fighter pilot held hostage by the Islamic State group is intensifying its pressure on the government of Jordan to do what it can to save his life. In a video on Tuesday, IS threatened to kill the pilot and a Japanese journalist, Kenji Goto, unless Jordan released an Iraqi female jihadist. Jordan has offered to release her, but an uncle of the pilot has said he's received word from IS that it's rejected the offer. The financial markets in Greece have fallen sharply after the new left-wing Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras signals his government will stand by its anti-austerity pledges. The main stock market closed about 9% down, while Greek banks lost more than a quarter of their value. Mr. Tsipras has said he will review the entire privatisation programme, which is a condition of the international bailout. Andrew Walker reports.
Behind these falls lies the new Greek government's desire to end austerity policies and to have its debts to the eurozone reduced. If it can't get an agreement with Europe, it's conceivable that Greece might end up leaving the eurozone. The fact that it's possible means the country's banks could face customers pulling their money out, and there are reports that some have done so already. That risk has hit the bank's share prices very hard. One, Piraeus Bank, fell nearly 30% and has in total lost almost half its value since Sunday's election.
The South African city of Cape Town has approved plans to rename a major road after the last white president, F.W. de Klerk. Opponents have accused Mr. de Klerk of having blood on his hands during apartheid. Grant Farage reports.
The council says the proposal to rename Table Bay Boulevard after Mr. de Klerk was put forward by eminent figures, including Archbishop Desmond Tutu, to honour his role in the transition from apartheid. But local ANC representatives were furious. The mayor, Patricia de Lille, accused them of behaving like thugs. She said they spat at police who were called in to prevent disruption of proceedings. Councillors eventually retreated to another room and voted to approve the renaming of the road, with ANC members locked outside.
World News from the BBC. The Cuban President Raúl Castro has urged President Obama to use his executive powers to bypass the U.S. economic embargo on Cuba. Speaking at a summit of Latin American and Caribbean leaders, Mr. Castro suggested it wouldn't make any sense to restore diplomatic relations unless the embargo was lifted. A private wake is taking place in the Argentine capital Buenos Aires for Alberto Nisman, the prosecutor who was found shot dead in his flat with a gun next to him more than a week ago. Mr. Nisman had been investigating the bombing of a Jewish centre in the city in 1994. He died hours before he was to appear before Congress to accuse President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner of protecting Iranian suspects in the case. Iran has chosen a new ambassador to the United Nations in New York, 10 months after the United States rejected its original candidate. The new candidate is Ghulam Ali Khushru. Nada Taufik reports.
Iran's new candidate is a career diplomat who has served once before as the country's ambassador and deputy representative to the United Nations between 1989 and 1995. He is currently Iran's ambassador to Switzerland and is considered a moderate, having served during the presidency of reformist Mohammad Khatami and now moderate President Hassan Rouhani. But still looming is the diplomatic and legal dispute between Iran and the United States over the country's former designated UN envoy. 10 months ago, the White House refused to grant Hamid Abutalebi a visa to enter the country because of his alleged links to students who stormed the U.S. Embassy in Tehran in 1979. Abutalebi says he only acted as a translator.
The French government has released an online video designed to steer young people away from joining militant groups in the Middle East. The film includes the warning that foreign fighters will be complicit in the murder of civilians and will die alone, far from home. BBC News.